everyone. So today we'll start our journey with information security and information security governance. This is being the chapter one of your course, and we will cover what are the various aspects, what is information security, what is information security governance, how is that different, and what do you need to do in each area. So as I said, this would be the broad agenda where we will introduce you to the concepts. We'll take you through the basic principles of information security. How do you do information security governance? Because one is actually understanding information security. Two is doing the operations as required. And the important aspect is even having a governance structure to monitor what's happening. So it's like plan, do, check, act before. So here you have to understand, you have to execute, you have to do the governance, and all the learnings from the governance, you have to go back again and make the changes. What are the critical components of information security? Again, we look, because it's a vast subject, vast area, there are a lot of components, but we'll try to cover the important critical ones. And then towards the end, we'll try to summarize what we have learned. Now let's get understand what is it. So what is information security? So adequate protection, you know, is required for information assets to ensure their security, reliability, and availability. Now what are information assets? Well, to put simply, at a first level, you should feel that the laptops that you're using, the mobiles that you're using to access information, the iPads that you may have, or notepads or things like that, they are the first level of your hardware information assets. However, it doesn't end there, because there is a software component also of it. There is a server component at the other end. So all these, any data which is important and which needs to be protected, forms the part of the information assets. Now, what as an organization, what we have to do is that we have to ensure that there is adequate protection for their security, reliability, and availability. Because information and knowledge are acknowledged as valuable information assets and critical for business operations. So information security and information security governance, they play a vital role in safeguarding the organization's information or assets or critical assets, whatever you call it. Now, these entities are critical components in the digital age, where information is both valuable and vulnerable and mostly available in a digital form. The focus, therefore, of information security and information security governance is to maintain the security, reliability, and availability of the information assets and support a seamless business operation. So while you are securing it, ensuring the right person sees it, what the person sees or accesses is reliable, that is same thing again and again will be there and available as defined by us. So if you want to make your website available 24/7, then it has to be available. It should have the right information. It should be secure so that no one else can access to it. And all this adds up to seamless business operations. So what does information security and information security governance refers to? So the aim of information security, as we discussed before, is to protect digital and physical assets encompassing technologies, process, and policies. So how do you protect your physical assets first and then the digital assets? By using technology, process, and people, and having policies around it. And what is information security governance? It refers to the framework and the processes that guides and controls an organization's information security efforts. So it puts up the entire framework and the processes to ensure that whatever you do in information security to protect your digital and physical assets, whether everything is happening in line with that, whether there is any difference, whether there something can be improved, whether there is a weakness. So all this comes out as part of information security governance. So therefore, as we said, information security, it focuses on securing your data, while the governance provides the structure and oversight to ensure that security measures align with the organization goals. Both are crucial for organizations to navigate the complex landscape of cybersecurity threats and protect their valuable assets. And as we know, in the digital age, the more and more we are being digital, the cybersecurity threats are increasing. And there is a lot of people out there in the world who want to access your system, find out information, misuse that information. So they try to attack it and try to do it. Some people also do it for the sake of doing it or showing their technical superiority. That is aside. But mostly you have to protect your valuable assets from anyone who is not authorized to even touch it. And therefore, information security and information security governance both play a very important part to ensure that you have a good, strong, secure process and a framework, and also the posture to manage the risk, the cybersecurity risk. So, having understood what is information security and information security governance, let us now try to cover the basic principles that you must be aware of it. It's very simple that over the period of years, initially, information security was told to have CIA triad, which is confidentiality, integrity, and availability to be the core principle. What does it mean? Confidentiality means it's to prevent the disclosure of the information to unauthorized individual and or systems, because with the advent of bots and RPA, robotic process automation, even systems are now part of identity which is there, therefore individuals or systems. And when it needs to ensure that there is only need to know principle is available and it cannot be breached. Now, what is integrity? Integrity means that the data, whatever is stored, it cannot be changed without authorization. Otherwise, you will see some wrong data and take some wrong decision. For example, let's say someone is able to change the price of at Amazon of a device from 100 rupee to 50 rupee, and a lot of people order at 50 rupee thinking it's 50 rupee. Now Amazon has two choice: either it says I was hacked, some people changed it unauthorizedly, and therefore I cannot fulfill this order, or fulfill this order at a loss and still fix that issue which was there. So in both the cases, at one end, it also it may lose commercially. On the second end, it also loses its reputation. Therefore, this data is very critical, and the integrity of data has to be maintained. Availability. Now, this information must be available to the authorized person whenever needed. So, these are the basic principle of information security. But over a period of time, it also got extended. Now, what it got extended is like authenticity. So you validate the identities of the parties involved, crucial in ensuring the genuineness of the data, transactions, communication, or document. So identity verification also became part of it. And non-repudiation, which means commitment to fulfill obligation in the transaction and prevents denial of sending or receiving electronic records, because you are dealing with machines and you cannot have a scenario where subsequently it is found that the machine generated a data and sent on its own, and therefore you are not responsible for it. So the principles, extended considerations moved into the area of authentication as well as non-repudiation of any transactions or obligation fulfillment. Identification, the process where a subject claims an identity, initiating accountability procedures. So how do you identify yourself? How, because of that identification, what rights I give you, what access I give you, I should be able to take care of it. Authorization. So after I've authenticated you. I give you an access to the system based on the rights and privileges which are assigned to this identity or this person or this machine. Accountability and auditability. So I enforce the security policies that require maintaining accountability and also auditability to ensure that the accountability is upheld. So if my audit trail checks that who has accessed it, accessed a system, at what time, through which IP, which machine, coming through which layer, using which password and verified himself, all this I will have, and in case required, I can show it to ensure there is accountability of such thing happened. So again, additional concept in information security that you must be aware of, which is need to know and cybersecurity. So need to know means I have to restrict access to sensitive data or systems to individuals with a genuine need or requirement to work with them. So if you are working in sales, why do you require an HR data? So I have to restrict access to HR data. Or if people are working in any department, why do they need access to the financial statements of the company or P&L of the company? Unless what is publicly available. So I have to restrict all that. So that ensures that you, what you need to know, you can only access that. Second is cybersecurity, because one of the important frontline wall to ensure that the cybersecurity is not breached is the people who are accessing the system. So they have to be trained. Therefore, it involves protecting information assets from threats to information process stored and transported through internetwork of information systems. That means I have to ensure that my data is protected when the transaction is going on, when it is there on one server, when it is getting communicated to another machine, when it is saved on that machine and no one should be able to take out from that machine. And therefore, all these are internetwork information systems. Across the cycle, across the chain, I have to protect the data. So that is what the cybersecurity comes into play. Information security governance, ISG. Now, information security governance, it consists of, as I said, a framework for everything. Therefore, it will have leadership, who's responsible, the organization structure, and the processes that protect information and mitigation of growing information security threats. So there'll be a framework which says, what is the security threats that are coming up? How do I do a risk management of it? How do I ensure that I mitigate those things? All this is part of ISG. Now, the critical outcome of ISG includes, I align my information security with business strategy. So my business strategy will say what access we are doing, why are we doing, which team requires what, and so on and so forth. So my information security has to align with that. Second, I manage and find mitigations of any risk that come out of this information risk. So information risk, cybersecurity risk, all risks, they are overlapping in nature and I use interchangeably, but they are little different. So all these risks, I have not only have to manage it, but also find mitigants of it. Then I have to have monitoring of all these risks and I report the information security metrics. Now, of course, this requires a lot of investment. So I have to optimize the information security investments that the organization has made. So how do I optimize? I see which are important, which are relevant, which needs to be added, which needs to be removed, and things like that. And this is therefore the part of the framework of the ISG. And therefore, ISG becomes very important. Now, it is important to consider organizational necessity and benefits of information security governance. And how does it do that? It includes, I should increase predictability and reduce uncertainty in business operation. So this operation will go through, there'll be no one who will be checking it, no one will be attacking it. I should be able to give that predictability. Assurance that the critical decisions are based on accurate information, ISG should be able to provide that. Efficient and effective risk management, so I'm monitoring all the risk, I'm managing those risks, I'm triggering a mitigation plan. All these are tested and checked, so ensure that I am very efficient in it. Protection from legal liability. So nowadays, lot of contracts ensure, also intercompany contracts talk about risk coming from your system to them and the penalties for it. So in case such an agreements are signed, that's why the business plan alignment becomes important. Then I have, as a information officer, I ensure that I'm protecting the company from the legal liability. While I'm doing all this, how do I improve the process so that I'm able to reduce the risk or mitigate it at much faster pace? And as I said, again, how I reduce the losses from security related events. So it is given that there will be security related events, and therefore, how do I reduce the losses in case such an event happens? Obviously, my intent first would be to ensure that it does not happen. But if it happens, then how do I stop it and recover from it at the fastest time and with the least cost is how I have to plan my strategy. How do I ensure prevention of catastrophic consequences of an incident? So if my entire system is hacked, can I trigger my business continuity plan? Can I go to my disaster recovery side and protect this? And then when I recover it back, I come back to my production. All these is something that information security governance covers. And if I'm ensuring this, I'm giving comfort to people that your credit card details, your user ID, passwords are safe with me. Obviously, it will increase my reputation in the market. So what is ISG program? So it's a comprehensive security program and includes main activities like how develop and maintain the security policies. So I must have all the policies or what I'm doing. I assign roles, responsibility and accountability to everyone in the organization. I develop and maintain a security and control framework to ensure that I am protected. I classify and assign the ownership of information assets. I do a periodic risk assessment and ensure that there are effective controls in this risk assessment. I integrate the security in the organizational process. So while I have organizational process to access the system or to access certain data or take out a report, and if I find there are critical data in that report, then I have to ensure that that data or that report is not given to everyone but to only selected people. So I have to integrate all the security in the organizational process. Also, in case any user gets an email which is not from the recognized user ID, then I must have a process of what this user should do to bring it to the notice so that these things are taken care of. And I have to monitor security incidents. So any incident that happens, I have to monitor it. And in line with the policies, either take action or close these incidents. I must have an effective identity and access management systems so that I'm able to verify who, if the person that you claim to be, you're the same person. And according to the rule that I've set up, the policies that I've set up in the organization, I give you access to those systems or those data only. I generation of meaningful security performance metrics. So I ensure I take care of the right metrics, which will give me insight on the security postures that are taking place and keep enhancing that. And I have the information security awareness sessions for users, official and board members, because cybersecurity is not the domain of one team, one person, but it is the entire organization is responsible for the same. So what is the difference between IT compliance and IT governance? So while both IT compliance and IT governance, because this question does keep come up that if you have an IT governance in place, then why do you require IT compliance? And if you have an IT compliance, then isn't it same like governance? So therefore, both are important and used in effectively in complex and regulated business environment, that you must have a compliance to the IT process procedures and you must have governance around it. So organization's philosophy towards implementing IT practices comes out of governance. Compliance means meeting external regulation or statutory laws. So while it in your ISG, you may feel certain things are not important, not required in your environment for some reason. But if there is an external regulation or statutory law for it, then you have to do it. Therefore, both are important, governance and compliance. There is very my small area where governance may not include some compliance point, because ideally anything that is compliant has to be part of the governance. And therefore, you won't find them very different. But yes, there could be minor points where you only do it for compliance and not necessarily for governance. But that also is soon getting away. I think everything that is compliant is coming into governance. So why it is important? Because failure in meeting compliance may lead to heavy penalties, and failure in managing or governing the thing may lead to not achieving the goals for the entire IT activities. So therefore, both are important to us. Now we will move into critical components of information securities. So the first critical component of anything is to have policies and procedures. Now, what are policies and procedures? So I have to list down areas which come part of information security, depending on the business need, depending on my experience, depending on the industry requirement, depending on the regulator, and set up a policy for it. As an example, policy of a usage of the asset of the organization. Let's take an example of a laptop. So what are the policies of issuing the laptop? Who do I issue it? Is it to everyone? Is it to selected people? What kind of laptop I ensure do it? What kind of access the user gets it? What are the things the user can do with the laptop, and what are the things he or she cannot do it? Then I set up a procedure, how it is issued, what are the checks, do I take signature then on issuance, how do I ensure that what he's allowed to check or go use the laptop for, the same thing is being done, how do I verify it? So what are my procedures for doing all these things? I have to list down. And then whether those procedures are getting implemented and monitored, I have to find that. And in case they are not, then I have to make changes or ensure that it starts working on it. So at a very high level, this is where it will always be there. Therefore, this becomes the first step. So I need to know where I want to go before I start the journey. So in that sense, policies tells me where I want to go and what are the resources I am having. Procedure tells me how do I go and how do I use these resources to ensure that I reach my goal. And then the progress tracking ensures that if I'm going in the right direction, if I'm using the right resources, if do I have sufficient resources, if I'm learning through feedback that I may not have sufficient resources, then how do I add to those resources? That is where all the monitoring comes into play. And then actions taken out of monitoring is the last step that comes out of it. This action could be change in the policy for the subsequent one, or change in the procedure, or change in something else, change even the destination can be part of it. So that's how it typically works moving forward. So therefore, I have to identify first and implement appropriate information security management measures, practices based on business needs. Now, why does it say appropriate? Because every business needs are different. And therefore, you cannot have a set policies and procedures saying this is what you have to do. At a very high level, yes, directionally is available, but you'll have to change it to suit your organization. And therefore, it says appropriate information security depending on the business needs. Now, the good part is that policies and procedures, there are sufficient relevant standards, guidelines, and procedure already laid down and given to you. So if you decide, I don't want to miss anything, I don't want to start from zero, what I will do is I'll adopt a standard. Now, if I adopt a standard, the guidelines and the procedures of that standards comes to me. I only make changes in it. And therefore, I ensure that I do a quick start and move forward. Now, if you're starting first time, adopting a standard makes sense. If you already in business, you have made your policies, then again, adoption of standards ensures that there is some continuity and you don't miss out anything, right? And getting certified on those standard is the next best thing, which ensures there's a third party who ensures that you have done what the standard has done and if the standard was appropriate for you. So this is how you start your journey. So in the policy framework, what you will incorporate? You will incorporate your information security strategy. So you will say aligned with business objective and legal requirements. So you'll make a list of all the legal requirements, the business objective, and you'll come up with an information security strategy and ensure that it is aligned to business objective or legal requirements. Then you will set up what is the objectives of that policy, any policies that you write, what is the scope of it, because it's very important to understand where you start and where you end, who is the owner of that policy, and who is responsible that it gets implemented. Sometimes mostly owner and responsibility could be the same person, could be different person. Therefore, you have to spell it out separately. Then for the governance side, you could have a separate information security organizational structure under a CISO structure where a CISO is there and there are different teams under him. So if you have a different organization structure, you list it down. If it is part of internal audit, then you put it there, internal risk. So it's up to you. But if you follow a standard, then normally CISO structure comes into play. Then what is that information security structure? What role are there and what are the responsibilities of that role? And periodic review of the policy. And it is suggested that at least annually you should review. And in case a significant event takes place, like COVID, for example, then and you have made changes in your policy, then that is the time to review it again and ensure that you change it to match the significant event. Otherwise, once in a year is good enough so that you make the appropriate changes. Now you have to do compliance review of the policy. So you must have someone auditing this policy, whether you have done it in the right way or not done. If you have taken exception, then how are you doing? You must have a policy for exceptions for handling instances of non-compliance. Then penal measures for violation of policies and the process to be followed. You must list it down that in case you people don't follow the policy or the process, then what are the penal measures? Then you must know identification, authorization, and granting of assets, access to the IT assets. So how do you identify, how do you authorize, and how do you grant access to the IT assets of the organization must be clearly laid down as part of your policies and procedures. Then addressing various stages of IT assets life. So someone leaves and goes the organization, the asset comes back to you. Can you reissue it? And if you need to reissue, what do you ensure before reissue, before taking handover, before giving it to someone? All this must form a part of your process and policies. Then how will you monitor incidents? And in case an incident takes place, how do you manage that process? Then how do you manage the technology solutions that you have taken for the entire information security? How do you manage and monitor the service provider? So many a times in business, you give it out to the managed services to everyone. So in case you have issued it to the managed serviceman, then how are you reviewing it? What are the SLAs? Are you getting enough information? Do you need to change it? And so on and so forth. Then clearly indicating acceptable usage of IT assets. As I mentioned before, can I you access my personal email on my official machine? If I can, then what are the limitations or not limitations? If I cannot, then it should be clearly spelled down, I cannot. And if I still do it and save some personal documents on the machine which has been provided by the organization, then does that document become the property of the organization? Must be clearly spelled down. And the organization can take act on it. So those are the parts that are clearly there in the policies and procedures. Then I have to look at how will I get the number of staff for these positions, for the organization structure I have made, what kind of training they require. Do I outsource that or do I in-house it? All those are a part of ISG that I have to do there. And as I said, the strategy for periodic training has to come up because today we are changing very fast and there are new things which are coming very often. Every day as we speak, more risk emerges from technology and therefore it is humanly impossible for someone to be constantly updated. Therefore, constant and periodic training and a better training is required, and enhancing the skills of the people are required. So what is my strategy? How will I do it? All that must be part of the policies and procedures. Critical components of information securities. So these are the kind of specific policies that will be required. These are some of it, it is not exhaustive. Therefore, it is mentioned not limited to, but this will cover at least 80-90% of the policies that you will require, and there could be more as well. So as an example, you will require logical access control. You will require asset management. How will you ensure what assets, how do they come in, who hardens it, who sells it? In case it is not required, then what happens? Network access control, who can access network, password management, email security, remote access. So work from home would have changed a lot of remote access policies, as you can see. Then network security, application security, backup and archival, database administration, physical security, incident response and management. So all these are various components of information security, and it requires different policies to be put up in place. And after the policies, the procedures. As I said, these are just highlighting ones, the major ones. There could be a lot more than this. Another point, you have to be very clear in the ISG, the governance, in the procedure and policy, is the accountability. So you must have a clear job description. Even it goes as far as employment agreements and constant checking of their awareness of the policies that are there inside the organization to the staff through tabletop exercises and other exercises to ensure that there is accountability of the security. Secondly, it is very important to communicate to general and specific security roles and responsibilities for all employees with their job description, so that they are aware that they are responsible for what area and why. That ensures that there is accountability for security and who's responsible. Digital evidence, with the IT Act coming, I think, and we going more digitized, it is now physical evidence and digital evidence both have become same, and it is similar to any other form of legal proof. Must the digital evidence collected after an incident, during the incident, before the incident, or on understanding that something is not right, it must withstand challenges to the integrity. It handling must be carefully tracked and documented. So chain of command, chain of custody, those things have to be very clear in digital evidence. Must be suitably authenticated by concerned person as per legal requirement. So this all forms the part of policies and procedures for information security.